Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be listening to Box Set here on GoldBoxMedia.com with your host.
If the laws of physics no longer apply in the future, God help you.
The oh-so-sexy cat.
Oh, my breath, they're really strong.
And the almighty bad.
It's simple. Just take the hydraulic phase shift emulator and attach it to the transdimensional photon particle emitter. Kaboom! New talent.
Not playing. There we go. Okay, it's playing now.
It has been said.
Something or other. I don't remember the date. What's up, guys? How's it going? Cat, Trish, how we doing?
We're good. May 15th.
May
15th.
It'll be...
And happy day after 420.
Wow. I guess. I'm not sure where else to go next. All right, so thank you, Shrink. You throw me completely off base. I appreciate that. Anyway, guys, welcome. Welcome to Box Heads here on CodeBoxMedia.com. Also heard on BlogTalkRadio.com. If you wish to get in contact with the show for any reason, the topic this week is obviously Diablo 3 because of the open beta, and it is coming out soon. I'd like to talk about it. Please give us a call at 347-838-9713. And if you want to email us, you can at boxes@codeboxmedia.com. Also, we have a new feature that you guys should definitely start using. It's a text to the show host person thingy. I'm not sure what the technical term is of it, but that sounds pretty technical, so we're going to go with that. It's on our front page of our website on the sidebar to the right. Scroll down just a little bit, fill out the information, the question, and it'll get sent right to the email address, and we will read it on air. Please do not send us weird stuff that would be in a... I don't know. How was your week, guys? Kat, go.
Actually, this week went by rather quickly. And since I've been trying not to stock up on groceries this week because we're, you know, the movers are coming next week, we've been eating out a lot.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And so I went to Taco Bell with my daughter the other day where I ordered those, like, 12-pack of Taco Bell boxes. You know how they have the big boxes there for the dinners. Well, she told me she didn't want Taco Bell. She wanted McDonald's. So I give her McDonald's, and then I go into, go through the drive-thru Taco Bell because I want Taco Bell. And then she sits there, and she's like, oh, well, maybe I do want a taco. And I'm like, No, you have McDonald's. So the whole way home, she's like trying to squish my tacos. Like she's poking them and everything. Uh-huh. And because she's really mad, right? So I yell at her and I'm like, stop poking at them. And she's like, she looks at me and starts screaming, I'm going to eat that taco.
Oh, my. Kids are crazy.
Cracking up, but I'm trying to keep like a straight face.
Yeah, you're trying to be you're like, trying to be the parent. You're like, yeah, that's not funny. You're being misbehaving.
I'm like, do not say that. So the whole ride home, she's screaming out the window, I'm gonna eat that taco.
Wow.
Just horrible. Oh my god.
You know, you sound like you have a very interesting bunch of kids. Stop feeding your kids sugar. That's all I got to say.
Well, it's not like it matters. It's all the same meat.
Well, you know, true. Anyway, moving on. We're just gonna move on. There are quite a few topics for us to get to. Apparently, Kat likes to eat Taco Bell, and her daughter apparently throws them out the window screaming, "I'm gonna eat tacos." So. Riggs, do you have a story to top that one, besides something that I'm scared to actually ask you? You know, I tried really hard not to reference anything
you don't have to,
innuendo-y, but I was just waiting for it from one of you, so... Send your hate mail to those guys, not me. I didn't do anything. I just kind of waited for the joke to kind of level out and finally explode.
You instigated it.
How did I instigate it?
I don't know.
You're the one that ruins the show, not me.
You let me do it.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway. So, Diablo 3, guys. This is quite a large topic, actually. I know that the beta has been going on for quite a while, and then this is the open beta weekend. There's actually a couple of rumors circulating on the forums that it could just go to an open beta period until May 15th, which would make sense because that's only about, what, a week or two? Which would be,
that'd be fun.
I think if Blizzard really wanted to sell this, and if they were smart, which... that's debatable. I think they would open it up for a little bit longer and kind of say, okay, this is really what we can actually do with the game and see how popular it is. Because, you know, open beta, I don't think, is really a good representation of some, at least a weekend is a good representation of how many people are actually excited about it. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of Diablo fans like me and Kat are really huge Diablo fans. Triggs, did you play Diablo as a kid?
I played Warcraft and Starcraft.
Okay, so
I have friends that played Diablo and they showed me that.
Yeah, so you know, it was one of those games that if you liked it, you liked it. If you didn't like it, you didn't like it because it was a different.
Well, no, style. Like I was like what was this? 1998. I was probably like 12. Something.
Yeah, it came out around the 1998-1990s.
Yeah, I wasn't old enough for my parents to say, close enough.
Well, I wasn't either, but I still got it. it took a lot of convincing, but my mom actually made me write a report on as to why the video game was bad. So.
Gee, that's reasonable.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I kind of boiled it down to, well, you're fighting Satan, so you're trying to rid the world of evil, so I'm playing a Christian game.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, because that argument always works.
It worked against my mother. So, and if
well,
she's thinking this, hi,
that.
Mom.
fighting evil here.
What?
We're fighting evil. No.
Yeah. Triggs, can you turn up your mic just a tad? Having a little bit hard time hearing you.
Oh, I think I just need to move up a little closer to it.
There you go. Well, you know, it helps to not smoke I don't know. I have no idea. It's been a really It's been a really fun week. I'm actually really excited for a lot of the things going on, so I'm having trouble, like, trying to stay on topic. There's a lot of really cool things that we have to get to. We're just going to kind of shoot everywhere, I think. The list that I have in front of me is a good thing this week. We have our In the News segment, which is really good. We have a new segment and another new segment. Actually, we have three new segments now that I'm rereading everything. I know Shriggs has a segment he may bring to the show this week. I'm not sure if we'll do it next week or this week, depending on if he actually prepared anything. Because you know Shriggs, he does ruin the show. That is his tagline.
There we go.
So, Kat, how's moving going for you?
It's going good. I'm actually not looking forward to next week because my internet gets shut off, and I'm a bitch when it comes to my not having internet. It's like, you know, when it was funny because when I first moved into this house, we had to wait like a week to get our internet, and I have a mobile card from Verizon that I use to connect to the internet, and they wouldn't. You know, it was working okay, but it was like maybe 1.5 bars, so it was really kind of slow, and I'm really impatient when it comes to having to do research and everything like that and taking forever. So we had Suddenlink here, and they just kept saying, you know, we're going to get to you, something's wrong or whatever. They were coming with all kinds of excuses. So I finally called, and I said, I want to speak to a manager. I was so infuriated. I had stuff I had to get done, and... Mm-hmm. She puts the manager on, and I just went off on him, and I was like, I'm about ready to go down there with a freaking bat and bash you your head in. I mean, I literally was so mad. And
sounds
he was
like AT&T.
Like, he was like, we will be out there this evening.
You know, some companies don't respond well to customer complaints like AT&T. If you get mad... They're like, sorry, nothing we can do about it. Deal with it. Thanks for your money. Bye. Click. Literally, that is a couple of conversations that I've had with AT&T. They put us on a contract for some reason without telling us, I might add you. So we couldn't cancel their crappy internet service until June or July, which is in a couple months, because we wanted to go with Time Warner, which is a local company here in Ohio, or Buckeye, excuse me. And I was like, I'm on a what? They're like, yeah, you're on a 12-month contract. And I'm like, sir, I'm looking at my paper that I signed, and it says contract agreement, 0 months. So how the hell am I on a contract? He goes, well, our special offers are contract-based. And I'm like, I wasn't told that. He's like, oh, I'm sorry for this inconvenience. Anything else I can do for you? Yeah, you can go jump off a bridge. It's internet companies, a lot of internet companies, I should say, are just retarded. They don't care. They've gotten too big for themselves. And if any of you guys have AT&T, just a fair warning, they do have a limit cap on the internet now for some random reason. You pay for unlimited, but you have a certain amount of gigabytes you can use per month, which totally makes sense for unlimited internet that I pay for. So
I have a friend that's in the same situation. He has AT&T as well, and he was my contract does not state that I'm, you know, on a 12-month basis here. You know, he was just like, no, this is ridiculous. But, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of people like you and him and everything and me and Triggs that we get to this point and – you know, we feel that there's nothing that we can do about it because they're such big companies, and they get away with it. But it's people like us that need to actually stick up and petition and say something and actually take them to small claims court because that's illegal.
Oh, gosh, that would be so great if I had the money to sue them for every penny they're worth. Oh, I would do it, too. I'm sure I could get about 5.5 million people from the U.S. who've gotten screwed over by AT&T and been like, yeah, you guys are retarded. I'm taking you to court. Can I take someone to court for being retarded? Is that not politically correct?
Well, you know, the lady in California had sued Honda for the hybrid car that they have out.
Oh,
it was not giving her the miles that it said it was supposed to in their advertisement. And it was off, only off by a couple thousand or something like that. But it's false advertisement. And people do not want to take these big companies to court. But she went to court, small claims court, because they can't bring their lawyers in if it's a small claims court.
Right.
And she won. She won the lawsuit. So, I mean, it is possible. You can do it. Just make sure that you have all of your facts straight and everything like that and have all your proof.
Chewy is definitely right. He should just rip the arms off of him, and then maybe they'll listen. But since that would be considered assault or technically manslaughter, because they would probably bleed out and die,
Chewy's
wrong.
It's a Wookiee, not a man.
Well, that's true. I mean, our police officer's really going to try and arrest a Wookiee that's 6 foot, or what, seven? How tall are Wookiees? Like 7-something? Yeah.
Manslaughter does not apply to Wookiees.
That's true. It would be Wookiee slaughter. I don't know what that would be. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, what have you guys been playing? Other than all three of us finally getting into the beta, apparently Shriggs actually had the beta way before any of us did, and Blizzard never emailed them about that.
Yeah, I just
Shriggs.
Like, Kat, do you know how long people had before, like, Friday to download this thing? Like, did they offer it an early download, or did that not exist? And was I cheated out of playing Diablo 3 this whole time?
I had just gotten the notice 2 days ago.
Yeah,
so
same.
I'm not exactly sure when they were actually releasing it, or if they had given it to those who were in closed beta. But it was about 2 days ago that I received mine.
Thursday?
Right. Because just now got yours downloaded, right?
Yeah. But that's because it was bugging out on me.
Yeah, Shriggs likes to have lots of bugs. But, you know, again, Shriggs, that's kind of what you get for being a new PC user and using the Mac for so long. You kind of deserve it. No offense.
Hey, everyone is getting this thing, not just...
I didn't have any trouble with it. It installed the first time.
It works. The bug doesn't work on shitty internet.
Touche.
Just to kind of give our listeners and who have not downloaded Diablo 3 yet, if you're interested in downloading it, you can go to the Diablo 3 website, and how it kind of works is a little bit different than any other kind of open beta. In order to access the game, you're going to need a Blizzard Battle.net account. And players, if you have not played any Blizzard games before, you can register there for free. And then a game client is needed to hook the game with Diablo's server. So the Diablo 3 beta client is also available on the website. And then you're going to need a battle tag. You have to choose a nickname, which uniquely identifies each player to the team in the Blizzard world. And the client being offered for this stress test is also available for Microsoft Windows, Mac OS operating system. So, again, you're going to need to do two types of things. You're going to need to get a Battle.net account, and then when you go to download Diablo server, it's going to ask you for a beta, for a battle tag. So you're going to have to come up with a unique battle tag. So that's just kind of a gist of how you download the game. And I guess some people have been having some issues. I didn't have any issues, but which is surprising because I'm kind of at my cap right now for my internet. So I was surprised that I was able to get that downloaded.
They gave you a cap too?
It's ridiculous.
Like what? Why are companies doing that now? I don't get it. It's like the U.S. is like one of the only countries I know that actually has data limits. I think New England and United Kingdoms were the first, and then for some reason we thought that was a good idea. I mean, why can't we have Sweden's internet where it's 100-100 for $30 a month? That would be great. Like, I don't understand the whole let's not make our internet widely accessible to everybody here in America.
Yeah, that's going to have to be another episode all on its own, because that goes down to a lot of government control.
government conspiracy.
And...
show. No, I'm just kidding. And... I'm totally kidding, guys. Anyway, now that we've talked for 20 minutes about nothing, let's get on to the meat and grit. Of, apparently, I can't say meat and potatoes. I have to say meat and grit for some whatever. Let's get on to the meat and potatoes, as my father-in-law calls it, of the show. So we start talking about a little bit about Diablo 3. Let's kind of just get way into that. If you guys want to kind of join us on the discussion, 347-838-9713. Twitter is at Codebox Media. Facebook and YouTube is all / Codebox Media. Very simple, very easy. Again, once again, the email for the show is boxheads@codeboxmedia.com, as well as you can text us via on our main website. And just scroll down, look to the right, and fill out the information on the sidebar. So, getting into Diablo 3 discussion, Shriggs, what are you hoping to get from this game? Since as a completely new person to Diablo, you didn't actually play. I mean, you probably played a little bit when you were a kid, or watch your friends play it, but not knowing the story, not really knowing how the game's going to work per se, how is your mindset going into this beta? What do you expect, and what do you hope is actually in the beta?
What I'm expecting is just a crazier version of Torchlight.
Okay.
Much darker, more brutal, crazier attacks, and bigger finishes with bigger bosses.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what you're going to get. But, you know, then again, I feel that Torchlight is kind of a lot like Diablo 3. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's a different art style. It's definitely a different combat pace, I think.
Yeah, but I'm just using it for comparison, because that's the closest I've gotten to Diablo.
That's probably the best comparison, really, is Torchlight.
Definitely.
I mean, Kat, is that something that is maybe... a good thing? You think that maybe Torchlight is almost like Diablo 3 in a way, or is that maybe a bad thing? And do you think that Blizzard kind of waited too long to release it?
No, actually, I think it kind of worked out perfectly, because Shriggs hit the nail on the head when he had compared the Torchlight and Diablo, because they are pretty much basically the layout is the same. I mean, you've got the dungeons, you've got the overhead, you've got, you know, the different classes. I mean, obviously, you're going to have some tids and bits that are different from each other.
Right.
And the biggest being the graphics. I mean, that's just kind of the way that Torchlight has theirs. And they wanted to kind of push themselves away from being, you know, exactly like Diablo. But they kind of ended up that way. And the thing with Torchlight was, that it didn't have that ability to connect. This is now this is just Torchlight, because I hear Torchlight 2 is supposed to have the LAN capabilities. And Torchlight 2 is not out yet. So if you guys want to read on that, you can. But in the original Torchlight, you didn't have that ability to connect with your fellow game mates and kind of run through the dungeons together. I kind of got tired of Torchlight because it was really repetitive.
Yeah.
I mean, even on hard mode, it seemed like it was really. In fact, I didn't even want to go further than like playing one segment of hard mode, and I was just like, I don't want to do this again.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, it is repetitive. But then again, it was a pretty solid, like it was a really kind of just simple dungeon crawler. There really wasn't a lot of different mechanics to it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, Shriggs, all in all, if you're looking for something a little bit more than what Torchlight, Diablo 3 is going to be, it's going to be awesome for you. I mean, it's going to have a lot more than what you're looking for. You know, in terms of MMOs, past MMOs and everything, obviously, it's not going to be in comparison to that, but it's not one of those type games.
Right.
So, I would not even put that in the category of, you know, World of Warcraft or anything. It's pretty much on a category of its own.
No, I mean, Diablo is... I mean, it is a dungeon crawler. I mean, it is a... I always call it a satellite view, but the gamer term is top-down view. And there's no way to zoom in or out, which I was kind of disappointed in. I can't move my character with the WASW keys, which kind of is annoying because I'm used to that. But it's all kind of about relearning all the controls all over again. So I think that won't be as much of a disappointment as I originally thought it was going to be. And my cat.
You bring
is
up
there
a good
right
point
now.
Though.
I do.
You do because look at how we progressed these days in the way gaming is. We are all so used to now using WSAD or however else being able to.
Mm-hmm.
To personalize our controls and using the mouse to kind of move around, see the front of ourselves, go scroll in and things like that.
Right.
I think and I believe personally that if you're going to make a game, whether it's a top view type game or not, I think you should be able to at least have the option to do that. Because nowadays this generation is used to it, and that's what makes PC gaming so much, and this is my personal opinion, you can call in anytime you want to give me your opinion, but in my personal opinion, that type of control is what allows PC gaming to be better than the console.
Oh, definitely.
Because, you know, I can control it the way that I want, and that it just, you know, and it's also easier for people who are disabled gamers.
Well, yeah,
so,
I mean, you know, not to beat a dead horse here, but I think that's one of the reasons that Tor did not do so well, is because the customization was there, yeah, but not being able to move your UI around and just not having a lot of the features that really should be in an MMO to be at launch to begin with, that say like Rift had, or I guess Rift is the only other MMO that's been out recently, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, even in Terra, you can move the UI around a little bit and customize a couple things. So, I mean, yeah, I guess I did bring up a good point without realizing it. It's just, it's something that is in almost every game. Even, like, indie games have, hey, you can customize the entire keyboard. You can map it out to how you want. It's become the norm that when it's not there, you're just kind of like, oh, well, that kind of takes away from what I was expecting. I mean, I'm okay with it being more Diablo-esque. I'm cool with that. It was more of just kind of a, made me have to think a little bit more than I wanted to. So I was like, okay, so to actually control your character, you can either click to move, which I absolutely hate. I hate that. I think it's a stupid feature. I don't even understand why it was invented. It just makes for more, like, it's stupid because you got to do more things at once. And you're just like, well, what the hell? It's just, and you're like, click, 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 and you look like a moron. I'm not playing StarCraft. I mean, it's...
And don't forget, you have to hold the shift key down in order to stay in one specific position instead of, moving forward.
Yeah,
that's the one with mouse buttons.
See, I've even gotten to that part, Kat, because I play a monk right now.
Right.
I just dinged level 2 before the show started. The download was done at when I woke up, so I was like, yeah, I'll play. And then I looked at the time and was like, oh, I probably should actually start the show soon since, you know, start 8. I was like, that's probably a smart idea. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's frustrating because I feel that click to move should only be in an RTS because that's just how the game is. I mean, unless you're playing RuneScape, which is 90 billion years old, and I'm not sure why you would still be playing RuneScape, but hey, to each his own. I feel yes, Riggs.
Yeah, Blizzard's making the console version of Diablo 3, so we may be getting a future version where you could use a controller and eliminate the mouse.
Wait, they're making a console version of Diablo 3?
They are making a console version of Diablo 3.
I did not see this article. Is
it's
this
been
something
talked about a lot.
Well, I haven't been following Diablo 3 because I haven't cared. Because I was like, I'm not in the beta. I don't know if I am going to like it or not. Because, just kind of go off topic for just one quick second here, I generally am not going to buy a game unless I can play a demo first from now on, just based off experiences from Call of Duty screwing me over. Unfortunately, you know, Tor kind of being a disappointment and Battlefield kind of not living up to expectations. I like to kind of see what I'm going to buy first, and companies don't do that, which is annoying. And I think Blizzard I think Blizzard saw that this is something that's needed. They're one of the few companies that still kind of give a demo. I know BioWare did a demo of Mass Effect 3, and they left out the ending with good reason. So, I mean,
well,
sorry,
yeah, like,
I had to throw that in
so
there.
How it
is. No, I mean, it's just, it's something that I like to be very extra careful about. So, but anyway, getting back on topic to the click the move thing, it's just, for me, it's an annoyance because I have ADHD. Everyone knows this. And if I see something shiny, I'm going to stare at that and forget that my character is not moving. And if I'm being chased by a boulder or a firewall or whatever the hell I'm supposed to run away for, my character is going to stop because I'm looking at the stupid squirrel or the butterfly or the shiny object on the ground going, what's this? So when that happens, my brain still subconsciously is moving the AWS keys. Like, I was playing literally, and I was moving the AWS keys thinking I was moving, and my character wasn't moving. So I was like, oh, it's click to move. And I'm like, I clicked on the options, like, please let there be a way to change it. I'm like, no, there's no key bindings. Why? I mean, you can map it. You can map pretty much all the key bindings. Like, you can, if you have a 14-button mouse, you could map all those to all those buttons. But I don't know. Maybe I'm being too picky. But I can't stand click to move. But the other way you can do it is you can hold down your left mouse button and just kind of drag where he wants to go, which is okay, but left click and right click are one of your primary attacks, so that's just more clicking involved. And it's awkward, too. Maybe it's different with ranged. Kat, does it feel a little bit more smoother with range heroes? I know you're playing the Demon Hunter right now.
I don't mind it too much. I mean, I don't use the click to walk. I never liked that either. I wasn't a fan of it either. If I'm going to be moving around, I'm going to use the, you know, holding the key down or the mouse key down in order to move.
Yeah.
While I'm running, and then I'll go and while I'm moving away, I'll lay a trap down, keep running until I kind of get them to stop. Then I'll turn around and just start shooting from that point. But yeah, I get what you're saying, and I understand it because I'm the same way. I think click to walk to move is just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, another thing is it's not right click to move; it's left click. It's counterintuitive to every game out there. You're just like, wait, why am I right left clicking? That's supposed to be select an action. That's not supposed to be move. It's apparently. I don't know. Maybe we're just nitpicky or something. Shriggs,
no.
Like thoughts, Shriggs. I mean, you don't really. I'm not sure if you like click to move or not. And like, do you have a personal preference that you like to play with?
Personally, when I first played Torchlight, it was really foreign to me because I had never played that kind of style of game before.
Mm-hmm.
And it got a little getting used to, but I never really got immersed with it and really liked it.
Okay.
I think an option for using the keys to move or some sort of analog control to move would be something Blizzard needs to put into the PC version. Because it's just archaic. It's back when we didn't have like really good controls for a character that moved in three dimensions on the computer.
Right.
And then a joystick. A big-ass joystick.
Oh, gosh. Joysticks. Oh. Wow. Do you guys remember playing Dark Forces with a joystick? Whew. That was... Yeah. Let's not get on that topic because I don't want to have nightmares about that. That was just brutal, man. Wow. Thanks for bringing that up, Shriggs. I appreciate that. So, okay. So we've kind of covered, the basic controls here. It's click to move or click drag to move, basically. You have your hotkeys 1 through 4. You can bind your potion key, your scrown portal. Wow. Awesome. Town portal key, which is like your hearth, for those of you who played World of Warcraft. It allows you to go from whatever location you have it set to, from wherever your dungeon or whatnot, you're there. It's a quick travel, basically. You can bind all your attack keys. You pretty much can bind your entire keyboard to whatever. So, I mean, the customization is still there, but I think it needs to be stepped up just a little bit in as far as movement. What else here? Class-wise, I guess we'll go over the classes a little bit. Kat, since you have a little bit more experience in the beta, since you've been playing longer, since, you know, Matrix just downloaded, have you had a chance to actually try out the classes, or have you just kind of been focusing on one?
I have been actually focusing on one right now, because actually in the open beta, you can only go up to, like, level 13. So
right.
You're really kind of limited, and you just... I think they want you to get a taste of the different classes. And for those who have not tried the beta yet or have not really been up to date with the Diablo series, this Diablo 3 has a little bit of a change in classes compared to Diablo 2. And these mm-hmm. classes include the Demon Hunter, the Barbarian, the Monk, the Witch Doctor, or the Wizard. And each character obviously has their own strengths and limited. Currently, right now, I'm playing the Demon Hunter. Shriggs, you're playing which character?
Witch Doctor.
And then Baz, I think you said you were going with the Monk.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
So we'll be able to give a little bit more in depth for the classes all three of us go continue to play, just to kind of give comparisons, because I believe in Diablo 2 they had the Amazon, the Necromancer, the Barbarian, Sorceress, and the Paladin.
The Assassin and the Druid in the expansion.
Right, the Assassin and the Druid were in the expansions, exactly. So,
which were my favorite classes, personally.
Right. Right, which they completely kind of changed, but they seem more to combine classes in this
mm-hmm.
one and just kind of rename them, so to speak. So I don't know what their purpose of doing that was, but I have to say, for right now, because I'm level 8, I believe, and I think the Witch Doctor is just killer. I think she's awesome.
You mean the Demon Hunter?
Demon Hunter, sorry.
It's okay. All good. All right, so, I mean, you know, Kat brings up a good point, is some of the classes I think were combined. I think the Wizard, I think, was combined with the Druid and, what other class? Probably, the Druid and the Wizard, really. Now that I'm thinking about it, probably just those two. Paladin might actually be kind of there, maybe in an expansion or maybe in a major content patch. But the Assassin looks to be kind of grouped with the Demon Hunter. It has a lot of kind of stuff that the Assassin had back in Diablo 2. The Monk, I think... Was the Monk in Diablo 2? I don't remember.
No.
No, okay, so the Monk is a new class. At least it's not a panda.
There you go.
Oh my gosh, I just... Anyway. I feel that maybe they tried to compact a little too much. I would have liked to see a little bit more class variety. But, you know, then again, that probably would have delayed the game for another 4 years. So we wouldn't want that. I don't know. I'm still on the fence about the game. Like, how are you guys thinking? And Kat, what is your overall impression right now? What is...
Personally, from my perspective, it's different. I mean, it's something that... I mean, I enjoyed Diablo 2. You know, I enjoyed that game style. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm okay with it. The graphics have really impressed me. I mean, they really outdid themselves with the artwork and everything. They're very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy going through the dungeons and just finding little things like little books and picking them up and, you know, actually having to scroll over things to find things. So I really like that you really have to take your time and look for things. And the drops, you know, are, but now again, everybody, for this is all beta. So they're
right.
Really giving you kind of the really good stuff of the game, just that's the way that their marketing works. So
mm-hmm.
So obviously it's kind of hyped up to make it look good and everything. But I like it so far. I mean, I haven't had a problem despite the lag, which was kind of, you know, that was for obviously inevitable. It was going to happen during this time. But other than that, I'm sorry?
You lagged?
Yeah, the lag during the in the game, it's kind of there's a little bit of a server lag. But
I didn't notice any.
While you were playing single player?
No, because I went on to some of the public servers.
Ah.
Yeah, so there was, you know, some lag and stuff, but it was that was kind of inevitable. I mean, with everybody trying to play and log in and download.
I experienced from my short time of playing my character. I did get lag, and it was while I was alone.
Really?
Yes.
Like, just, like, standing there, or?
Like, skipping across the screen.
Well, that might have to do with...
Not frame rate drops.
Right, right. Now, I did get, when I did go to single player, I did get where I would shoot a specific skill,
mm-hmm.
and she would just stand there for a minute. But, that was actually the skill that I would, if I was doing something else, I was fine. But if I went and did a specific skill, I would just stand there for a minute with it. Now, I read on the skill, and that's not supposed to happen. So...
Now, was this before or after the patch this morning?
Now, that was before the patch.
Okay, well, hopefully that's fixed, because...
Right.
You know, classic Blizzard fashion, they release an open beta, and you get to play it for about 2 hours, and they're like, hey, thanks for testing our game, bye. I mean, come on. I'm hoping that Blizzard kind of does keep it open beta for, you know, maybe a week or so, or maybe reopens it like a week beforehand or something. That to me, I think, would be kind of a nice gesture for Blizzard to do, to say, hey, you know, thanks for being devoted fans and whatever. I don't know, but I guess the overall impressions for me is it's not a terrible game, but there are things in the game right now to just annoy me. As I said, the movement is, I don't like it. It feels weird, and some of the voice acting is just terrible. I mean, my character, the monk, sounds like some weird, I don't know, like Russian, Swedish person that had a baby. I don't know. He's like, oh, so get the floating star. And I'm just like, whoa, what are you trying to sound like? And I don't know. Have you guys experienced any of the weird voice acting? Because maybe that's just me being picky. But I feel that it like, I was kind of into the game until I heard my character's voice, and I was like, wow, that was really distracting.
I did play the monk for a little bit, and honestly, I wasn't bothered by it.
Okay. Kat, am I just being picky?
I have not played the monk yet. And most of the time, you know, and I think it's going to be different for me, because I won't play a male character. So
oh,
I
but
won't
he has
know.
His shirt off. Doesn't that entice you at all? Come on. I was really happy once I got my shirt off. I was like, yes, I get to wear a shirt. I mean, seriously, my character looks like he hadn't had any cheese for like a week. He looks so malnourished. I was like, what the hell? Anorexic monk here. So maybe I'm just being overly picky. Maybe the game's awesome and I'm just being overly picky. I don't know. I think I'll have to give a more accurate description next week and kind of say, well, this is kind of what I experienced, and I got to max level, which is apparently 13, and you know, tried a couple other classes. But right now, I don't know. It's a lot of fun, and honestly, I'm just kind of going there. I'm there for the story because, you know, I've beaten Diablo 2 so many times. It's not even funny. I feel that the story, I think, will sell the game more than the actual game will, if that makes sense. Which,
yeah.
You know, it isn't a bad thing as long as the ending doesn't suck and it's not just like, oh, the world ends, sorry. Or just something like space magic. Gosh, I don't want another space magic ending. I don't think I could handle another space magic ending. I just, no. I guess there's unfortunately, like, they released the beta, and we, you know, Cats had quite a lot of time to play it, but you know, Shriggs has been having install issues, and I just got it installed. So I don't know, Cat, is there anything else you'd like to say about it? I mean, I feel that I can't say anything else further. I mean, you're the one that's played it the most.
I do also want to kind of touch base on some of the skilling that they've included in it. And one of the most significant inclusions in the gameplay is skill ruins. And basically, it allows players to alter skills of their chosen character after completion of each level in order to fit the theme.
Mm-hmm.
And how that kind of works is, you get your skill. For instance, I had I use a bow, and I have these hungering arrow skills, and I can, you know, use my skill as normal as a and I sling arrows like crazy across the realm or wherever I'm shooting mm-hmm. At the mob. But I can also add these runes to it, where now if I add a fire rune or something like that, now my arrows can shoot just as good, if not better, and now they can shoot with fire. So you're getting the fire damage onto that. So the runes kind of increase, and each rune is it's pretty much you can stack as you go along. There's various combinations of these, and if you kind of combine them the right way, they can provide almost an infinite number of modifications to a spell or to your attack. So, I like the way that they did that, so that I can, you know, like you and I can play a monk together, but my monk can be a little bit different than yours. Mine can be shooting off fire, and yours can be shooting off, you know, ice shards or something. So we can be a little bit different.
Okay. So they've pretty much took the inscription system from World of Warcraft and kind of put it onto the Diablo system, where your skills are all based, but you can have certain ones. Like I was actually reading about the wizard. They actually have a class talent calculator on their website now, which is really weird for a game of Blizzard to have that before the game is actually released. So obviously they had a lot of free time. The one of the skills for that was you can summon a Hydra, and I guess some of the runes you could get were like summon a poison Hydra or a lightning Hydra or something else that doesn't shoot fire. So that's pretty cool. The talent tree for the most part is pretty basic. It's just, you know, choose an offensive, a secondary, a defensive, a passive, etc., etc. And I guess from correct me if I'm wrong here, Kat, but according to the talent calculator, you can actually have all secondary skills or all the passive skills or something on your that you actually unlock and you use at that certain point. Is that correct?
Right. You can actually choose which ones you want to put on your hotbar or not.
Okay, so it's actually pretty customizable then, in that respect.
Right, that's what I like, yep.
Okay, so that'll actually kind of make the game a little bit more interesting, I think, because I know there's a lot of dungeon crawlers where they just kind of force you to have skills of a certain type only in that certain hotbar or attack mode or whatever. So I think that... Shrakes, does this sound exciting to you at all? You're kind of quiet.
No, it's not any good. But I have something to add about the ending.
Oh, no.
I am the Oracle. You must defeat the demon. Will you use the red potion, the blue potion, or the green potion? They all do the same thing.
Thank you, Shrakes.
I'll take the purple.
Yeah, exactly.
There you
can kind of look at him and go, is there another color that's not on this menu? Can I mix them all and just kind of make a color and then drink it?
What about the brown potion? No.
No, the brown
no,
potion.
No, you mix them all and you'll end up with a weapon like Mr. Toots, who farts out a rainbow.
That's very true. But who wouldn't want a unicorn that would vaporize people with his farting rainbow? Anyway, so okay, so the skills are actually pretty pretty customizable, and you actually have a lot of variety there, which is actually really, really kind of encouraging to hear. As far as the combat goes, Kat, how have you felt that it flows, and like, is there any issues that you've had with it so far, other than you're not skill working properly?
Other than that, again, I can't stand the fact that I have to hold down my shift key in order to shoot, because that just, it annoys me, because I'm not used to that. I'm used to, you know, stopping and then shooting, or running someplace else and then shooting, or hiding behind a rock or whatever. But the fact of the matter that you have to hold down your mouse key and then run, and then I have to stop to turn around and then hold my shift key down to shoot at something, and I quite often forget to hold my shift key down, so I'm always clicking on something and running right into the middle of the mob, and it's just like, what the hell are you doing, Kat? I'm supposed to be standing back holding the shift key down. But it's something you're going to have to get used to. It's not, it's not something that I would say I would stop playing because of. I just think that their mechanics on that is old school, and they kind of need to kind of progress themselves up a little bit more. I mean, they already progressed themselves with graphics. Why can't you do it with the mechanics, you know, of the controls? So, you know, that's just kind of annoying, because I'm always finding myself running into the middle of the mob, but something I got to get used to, I guess.
Well, you know, my next question was going to ask you is, you can't run and shoot at the same time. I guess that would make sense. I mean, you're dual wielding two crossbows. It's not like it's hard to miss. You're shooting flaming fire. Mm-hmm. Like if you're missing with that, there's an issue.
Right. No, well, it's hard to do because you've got both of the fire shooting your weapon and running are both on the same mouse.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to kind of push the button to run and then shoot, because you can't move your character to face the other way. So when you're running, you're watching her back. So you have to turn around to kind of see who you're targeting.
Interesting.
So it's just, you know, it's annoying to say the least, but it's something that I guess I got to kind of get used to.
Yeah, I think we're all going to have some issues with that, because we're all used to, I don't know, we've all kind of been a little bit spoiled, perhaps, maybe. So,
to say the least, yes.
No, it's you know, you kind of brought up a good point. It's just something that we're probably going to have to get used to, and I actually want to touch on something as well. You know, you said that they've upped the graphics and whatnot, and yeah, you know, they've had time, and that's kind of another thing that kind of makes me scratch my head, is it's like, okay, you've been delaying this game for years now because of something, and all of a sudden it's because PvP is not working. Okay. I mean, I kind of hate to see what other problems that they're gonna, or things that they're gonna take out because they don't want to delay the game any further, or they're like, oh crap, well this isn't gonna work. We can't release it during launch day. Sorry guys, no auction house. It's not working right. And I don't know.
That's a lame excuse. Like at the beginning of World of Warcraft, they didn't originally have PvP in there. It was like fans wanted it, they just crammed it in there, and it worked.
Well. That is one thing I was kind of confused about, is they were like, yeah, PvP's not working, and it's like, okay, well, your actual combat doesn't work very well either, so, like, was PvP really that bad to begin with? I don't know, because we weren't actually in the closed beta, because Blizzard doesn't send out a lot of invites, apparently. And, I don't know, is this something that we should be worried about, or is this something that maybe is just kind of there because other companies have done it? Like, did you guys think that Blizzard might be, I don't know, biting off more than they can chew, like they always do?
I, you know, personally, I don't think they have much to lose. I mean, look at their competition out there these days.
That's true.
So, I mean, you know, they're going to go head on with Star Wars The Old Republic, because in our news today that we're going to discuss a little further, Star Wars The Old Republic's losing, you know, has lost millions of subscribers. So, I mean, their competition really is not...
Millions?
Millions. And so their competition really is not going to be too much of a, you know, too much to worry about.
Right.
So, I mean, they can do what they want, and it's still going to end up, people are still going to play what they have out, because right now they're looking for something different that doesn't involve, you know, high-end graphics and having to choose which faction you want to go to.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, you know, but just kind of going off that, I think that a lot of the gamers these days kind of include Yumi and Triggs, like, as the past generation gets older, I think maybe we're kind of set in our stubborn ways of gaming should be this way, and we don't want the new stuff, we're old, give us our, you know, prune juice type of thing. I feel that maybe sometimes we can be too picky as the older generation in gaming. But then again, I feel that we have more of the common sense than our next of kin, if you were, in the gaming kind of sense, because, you know, we have like stuff like the Kinect, the Wii, the PlayStation Move, all those things that we think are just stupid, and I think a lot of people think they're stupid. I mean, the Wii is probably one of the most frustrating systems to actually play, because you have to do all these stupid motions that don't make any lick of sense. I mean, like, to play Mario Kart, you have to look like a jackass with a steering wheel that doesn't work. And, you know, we have the Star Wars Kinect, which, if you saw a post I made on Twitter, it's also on the Codebox Media Twitter as well as on our Facebook. I think it's a couple days old. I posted the Kinect dance-off between Darth Vader and Darth Sidious, which is the Emperor in Star Wars, the original series. And it made me, you know, laugh for a little bit and then just kind of go, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I should not be watching this, because, like, Vader was doing hip thrusts and stuff. And I'm like, what is this crap? It's funny, but it's just, I feel that it's kind of like slapping gamers in the face and saying, you know, we don't really care what we put out. We're just going to kind of put out lazy crap. And the Star Wars Kinect was bad. I mean, I don't think I talked to anyone who said, the game was great, it was so much fun. They said it was fun for about the first 10 minutes, and then they realized how horrible the controls were, and they never played it again. So, you know, with just kind of what I'm trying to get at here, a game like Diablo, or Diablo 3, for instance, is, you know, Blizzard doesn't have any competition, so they can set the bar. And that worries me a little bit, because they're a company that makes mistakes now. You know, they didn't used to be a couple years, seven years ago, they were the company that, you know, didn't make mistakes. They were the company that was always spot on and just kind of right there. They always shot straight. They always told the customers what was going on. And they had a really good customer support and whatever. Whatever you want to kind of go off of, why they were a good company way back when. And now they've kind of fallen off the deep end, especially with World of Warcraft. They've really kind of catered to the, I don't want to say the noobs. I'm not sure if that is maybe a wrong term, but they definitely kind of catered to the younger generation, where it's give me now, I deserve this. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, the entitled gamers, if you were, because they pay for this, they should get this too, and they shouldn't have to work for it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, the Diablo 3 is probably going to do great. I mean, I'm not doubting that, but I feel that Blizzard, because they don't have competition, because you said that, Kat, I feel that that might turn the game into something that it's probably not supposed to, and they probably weren't intending, because someone's going to get pissed because they can't beat a boss because they suck at the game, and they should get it just because they paid the $60 for it. Is that a fair argument, or what do you guys think? Kat?
I think that's a fair argument. I think it can go either way, though, actually. When you're a company that doesn't have a lot of competition, you're pretty much you know, set in your ways where you're like, well, they're going to play this and people are going to like it because they have nothing else out there. And they're going
right.
to, you know, they're going to play because they're tired of some, you know, another type of style of gameplay. And I mean, that's why you get a lot of companies that are now like, oh, well, let's just do free to play because nobody, there's nothing else out there. So they're just going to play it. And they're, and that gives them another reason to say, hey, there's nothing else for me to play. And this is free.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go play it. And then they start
right.
charging you, you know, extra for little things as you go along, you know, extra bag space, things like that. And that's how they get you. But I think with Blizzard, it can go either way as far as, you know, this is a game out there that they are knowledgeable on. The storyline is great. People in both generations like the game.
Mm-hmm.
It has a flow, an even flow for all the generations. And
the
older generations are used to it. The newer generations are getting into it. You know, I think that they could go above and beyond with it as well as far as expansions too and adding more classes or adding more, you know, rooms or something or other aspect. And the fact of the matter is that you don't have the biggest thing with this is that it's not an MMO per se where you log on and you have to deal with a bunch of jackasses who are out there trying to take your stuff or trying to, you know, spam your chat window and everything like that. You can choose who you want to play with.
Right.
That's the biggest positive that they have with this game is that I don't want to go out there and have to stand in the auction house and listen to somebody, you know, tell me off because I bought their, you know, something or other for a cheap amount or what, you know, you don't have to listen to those.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no,
I mean, they've got something going for them.
Yeah, that's also a plus. You know, you can, Diablo is a single player game. I mean, that is what is, that is kind of the, its core thing. It's there to be played as a single player game, but it does have a multiplayer game aspect to it where you can open it up to the public or set a password to it and just play with your friends, which is nice, which they still need to add land, by the way, Blizzard. Just pointing that out there.
And another thing, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I was just going to say another thing to bring up on that point of, you know, being able to log on with your friends and choose who you want to play with is that attracts a lot of couples, a lot of girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, and wives, because there's a lot of wives who are not into gaming, the large MMOs and everything, but they want to know what their husband's doing. They want to, you know, play games that their husbands are playing, but they don't want to have to feel like they're being rushed by these total strangers or these total 12-year-olds who are out there. And they have responsibilities where they have to get up and watch their kids or they have to go cook dinner and they don't want to have to sit there in a raid and have somebody yell at them because they're AFK. So now
you're
in a LAN and your wife's going to play with you or your girlfriend's going to play with you because she does not feel like she has to be rushed. And now you feel like you can bond with your wife or your girlfriend and you can actually play with your friends. And that's a big plus. I mean, attracting the couples is a big plus.
Well, no, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, that's... It's something that I think a lot of games have kind of fallen off the short end. I mean, you can't play Call of Duty with your wife or girlfriend or your grandma or something. You can't. I'm not saying you should play Diablo 3 with your grandma. Unless you do, you have a really cool grandma. But, I mean, it's... Yeah, games these days just don't have that kind of community aspect anymore. And I think that Diablo does, but it's also limited because there is no LAN. Which, I don't want to get into that discussion because that's just something that will make my head bleed and explode and I don't have time to put it back together. So it's something that is kind of getting towards the point of community-based gaming again, which is really nice again. So I think the overall up and downside of this game is it's really going to kind of either go one way or the other based on how the community responds to it and how Blizzard then responds to the community and to the quote-unquote entitled complaints and to the quote-unquote elite players that are like, this is too easy, it should be harder. And in all honesty, it shouldn't be that hard because it's just a single-player game for enjoyment. You're not competing with anybody. You're not, you know, trying to get the Sword of a Thousand Truths first or whatever. It's just single player fun. You kill a bunch of mob bad guys as a monk or something, and it's just you just kind of go from there. It shouldn't be a game where the challenge is questioned because of something. I don't know. I feel that it's going to be really based on how Blizzard handles feedback. And just kind of based on their track record with StarCraft, they have a good track record with that. But with World of Warcraft, they don't. They kind of went to, well, and again, from a business standpoint, they had to go this way because most of the players that are playing World of Warcraft are the entitled casuals that just kind of want everything handed to them, which is really unfortunate because it kind of brought down the game to, okay, it's the same thing over and over again. This is boring. So I think Diablo 3 is going to be kind of a new type of gaming generation era that is going to might bring some more light into the community-driven game aspects. So we'll kind of see how that goes. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about our experiences. I mean, I tried to kind of cover the basics here. It's difficult because, one, Shrix hasn't played the game originally. Two, I haven't had a lot of time. And three, Kat's had a lot of time. So all of our opinions are going to be way different until next week when we all have had a chance to actually go through the content and say, okay, this is what I found for this, this, and this. This is what I actually liked. I'm going to retract my statement, blah, 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 type of thing. So we'll kind of keep you up to date on that. There'll be hopefully videos on our YouTube channel come this week or next week, depending on when I can upload them. So let's move on to some other segments we have. We have our three new segments from Kat and Shriggs. Do you want to do your segment this week, or do you want to wait till next week?
Which one?
I was going to have you do the art one, but if you're not fully prepared for that, we can wait till next week.
Yeah, I got something for that.
Okay, cool. Why don't we actually go ahead and do your art segment, because I am actually intrigued to what you actually have planned for this, because no one ever tells me anything for the show. I mean, everyone's just like, hey, here's my stuff. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to give it to you. Kind of like last week, where Kat put like intro something, and that's all
commercial
she put.
Or something.
Yeah, I was like, oh cool, a commercial for toothpaste, commercial for floss. I mean, you know, it could be anything. So, but you know, once we kind of get everything hammered out, it's been really crazy with Kat moving, and we're just there's a lot of things going on here at CodeBox, so we try to be as organized as possible, and there are definitely times we're just like, you know what, we're going to have fun with it. And I think until Shriggs buys a kitten, we're still going to end up being chaotic. So Shriggs, it's on you. You have to buy that kitten, I keep telling you.
Okay.
Shriggs has no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay. Shriggs, why don't you go ahead with your segment? I'm very excited to hear about it.
All right. I'm calling this segment the Art Bucket. And for this, I'm going to take one indie game and take a look at it with its art assets and narrative aspects. And for this week, I'm going to talk a little bit about Bastion. It came out a while ago, but I finally had some time to play it this week, and I love this game. Like, and the big thing about it, their big talking point was this narrator they've had where they took this one guy and gave him hundreds of lines to say, and as you play the game, he unfolds a story in the middle of fights.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, you're doing really good in a fight. He says, the kid beat their asses real good. Those scumbags never had a chance. And he'll congratulate you. Or you're walking down this area and there's a monument. And says, the kid walks past the monument. He looks up at it and he remembers back in the day when he used to be his defender. And it'll just reveal all kinds of little tidbits about the kid's past and his story. And there's a really interesting, think of it kind of like as the Half-Life story, where everything's going on while you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be stopping points. This, he'll be giving you the story, and you don't stop. You just keep going and going and going.
Okay, so it's kind of like you don't really know what's going on until you actually just kind of explore. So the game kind of rewards you for exploring type of thing?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Plus, the general art direction was very painterly and just absolutely beautiful. The colors were vibrant. The contrasts were together and made very good mixes.
Yeah, and the game itself, I actually got to play it on a friend's Steam account a while back, and the game is just beautiful. The sound itself is, I think, what really sells the game, plus the vibrant artwork. Oh my gosh, the music is amazing.
It's a strange but very appropriate choice, some sort of Western guitar strumming, and it's, it just works very well with it. Especially, it complements the narrator because he has that older and darker voice.
Kind of like the Dos Equis guy?
Yeah, kind of like that guy.
Okay.
But really, it's like, this game is practically like taking a good book and then stabbing the book.
Okay.
Because it is an action game.
Right. It's, how did you feel the art kind of, did the art complement the combat style? Because I know it's kind of more of a cartoony graphic style, which is what people call it, apparently.
It did, because it starts out, you know very little about the world, but then it becomes very grimmer and darker. And as you progress through the levels, the colors that are still very vibrant to darker shades and like purples and blues and cooler colors, and things get more dangerous and deadly.
Oh. Okay, so they kind of took the art and made it. Now does it change as you like say it, when you kill a boss? Does the area become a little
level.
Bit? Okay,
like
okay, so it's kind of like a
per level. Everything is beautifully handcrafted.
Okay. So the art really kind of tells the story more than the actual game itself does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. Kat, have you been able to play this game at all?
No, I haven't. It sounds absolutely amazing. I mean, as far as like artwork and music, and which brings me to the flow of game development and pretty much the art of gaming and how it has different forms of art. You're talking about music, poetry, storyline, graphics. I mean, everything is pretty much a form of art. And when you combine all that, there's very few games that can actually pull it off and have all of those forms in one, in one game and actually work together.
Right.
And it's just, it sounds very intriguing, and I'd really like to try the game or get some, maybe screenshots and so forth onto our website so that our viewers can see what it's about.
Shriggs, how much is this game and how can we acquire it?
You can get it on Steam, and it may also be on Gamersgate, and I can just pull it up right here. It's $14.99.
Wow,
and
that's
a free
it.
Demo you can try.
Okay, well, yeah, definitely check out the dev demo.
And tell them what it is again?
Bastion. And the price, you want that too? It's $14.99.
Sure.
And Steam also has the Bastion original soundtrack for $9.99.
Oh, cool. So if you wanted to listen to the awesome music, which I would highly recommend just getting both. I mean, you get a really, really nice soundtrack and a very, very artsy game, and it's
artsy and fun and action-y and good brawler.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for those of you who played Wind Waker and really enjoyed it, and I still think Wind Waker is probably one of the best Zelda games in the series next to Majora's Mask, but the art really complements the game. It really kind of seals it. It doesn't take away from it. It just kind of, it more sucks you in than go, okay, well, this is a cartoony game, I don't feel like playing it. It really sells the game, plus the really, really nice music, and as Shriggs mentioned, the narrator is just something that is not, I don't think, ever been done in a game before. At least to this point of actual good. And, you know, there are games that try and do narrating stuff, and you're just like, shut up, I'm trying to shoot the zombies or something. No, I mean, the narrator comes in.
Level.
I'm sorry?
It's never really been done to this level. Like, you'll have, like, someone narrate, like, a cutscene or some story during a loading screen, but not during the game and not like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the narrator comes in at the appropriate times during pretty much the entire game. And it's just it's really neat to kind of see or hear some of the ones that you've never heard before. Like, you'll get to an area you've never been, and he'll start talking about something. You're like, oh, cool, that makes sense. Now I know why that's doing that or whatnot. So the game really kind of rewards you for putting more time into the game. It's not one of those, okay, I got to grind out 15 levels to beat this boss. Okay, good, now we're good. No, it's just it really rewards you for just kind of your time put into the game. So that's actually a really good art spotlight. I'm actually glad you picked that one. I was actually expecting to do Journey, but Bastion is actually a very, very good one as well. Anything else you'd like to add there, Shrakes?
No, I think I said what I wanted to say.
Good. Excellent. I will make sure to have a funny soundbite for you sometime this next week for your art segment. I'm thinking, I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, artists like to get high, so how about I send you that sound clip with the ball?
Yeah, let's not promote drugs. That would be a bad thing. Anyway.
Did you expect me to go a full segment without ruining everything?
I did, but unfortunately that's not going to happen. So,
he just didn't want you to forget where he actually stood in line here.
Apparently not. So, moving on. Moving on.
And now it's time for Eat the News. Stop that.
So, Kat, we have news. What is it?
East Coast Gaming Conference is the largest gathering of video game professionals on the East Coast, and it's returning for its fourth time. The focus of the conference is to provide video game developers an engaging program and opportunities for networking and calibration. The East Coast Gaming Conference for 2012 will be held April 25th through the 26th at Raleigh Convention Center in Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's cool.
To follow them on Twitter, or for more information, you can visit them at www.ecgconf, that's East Coast Gaming Conference, .com. And BioWare Senior Creative Director Paul Burnett, who some of you may also know as Mythix developers, and is Zynga's East Coast Executive Producer Paul Stefanok. I'm so sorry, I cannot say his name. But they'll be sharing the insights for the state of the industry and impacts of new platforms in the growing gaming economy. So they're going to be the keynote speakers for the East Coast Gaming Conference. That's one I'd like to go to as well. When I lived in North Carolina, I could have gone, but they didn't start that until after I had moved. So, yeah, thumbs up to that. Mm-hmm.
Well, thankfully you're moving to a more area of the country where things actually happen.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you're currently in Arkansas, right?
Yes, we definitely in Arkansas. It's not very technically advanced here, so.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty like it's funny that the areas we live in are just really special. Is the word I like to use. Our states ride the short bus. It is like there is one local computer store right next to my house, and that's literally it. They have Best Buy and Walmart, and if you go to Walmart and you ask them for a coax cable or something, they're like, "What's that?" And I look at them and go, "Are you serious? You don't know what a coax cable is? That's the thing that connects a TV to a VCR before the colors came out."
You know, it's actually very saddening that I would have to say 80% of this country is still not technically advanced. That they have no clue. And, you know, and the biggest thing is that it's a culture shock going from the South to the North. It really is.
It so much is. It's scary.
Yes, it definitely is. You know, so I'm looking forward to getting back to where civilization is, I guess, per se.
Rub it in.
There we go. And speaking of rubbing it in, I am going to go ahead and rub this one out for Star Wars The Old Republic. Their subscriptions are declining, says the analysts. Star Wars The Old Republic has already been on the downslide. Forecasters' numbers are indicating that, according to their 1.7 million recorded in February, they are now down to only 1.2 million.
They are
losing millions by the month, according to Cohen and Company, and it suggests that the ambitious title is really facing a total decline for gamers in the MMO realm. So I don't know, Star Wars The Republic, you better get your fingers out of your ass and start doing something, but... And that little patch you did just did not really work.
Where are your brains in your ass?
That's pretty much where they are. No, seriously. Like, I cannot tell you how many different because when the beta was first announced for Star Wars way back in, 2008, I think it was, or maybe it was 2009 where they actually were taking signups. I made probably about 15 different email accounts to try and get in. And not one of them got in, mind you. Until a buddy of mine who only had three emails signed up, all three of them got in a week apart. I was like, you son of a... So he let me use one of those accounts. But I have gotten email after email in all 15 of those email accounts saying, hey, here's free time on us. And on my main account, I've been given about 60 to 90 days of free time if I just resub and reactivate my account.
Right.
And I'm like, gosh, that is so tempting, but it's not going to happen.
Right.
I kind of want to go on a rant here for just a second. The people that still play this game and still think, this game's awesome, it's so good, why? They haven't been able to give me a good, solid reason as to why this is a good game still and why it's good. You can't tell me that you're still enthralled in the story. You can't tell me that you have not already gotten all the classes to level 50, because it doesn't take that long if you're a MMO person who just is special. I like to call those people that have six level 50s already special, because that's all they do, is they just... grind each character to 50, and then what? What are you going to do? You're going to raid? I mean, that content is still... by the way, there's still bugs in the Eternity Vault content and stuff, I might add, which should have been fixed. And they just released a new content patch, which was 1.2. The Imperial Agent, my class, got screwed over so much where they're pretty much forced to heal again. Shocker. Bounty Hunters finally got nerfed. People will complain about that because they're not OP anymore. Sith Inquisitor, or in the Jedi Sage, which are just immensely OP, still have yet to actually get nerfed. And just like all the classes that really should be doing good in PvP don't, because, one, they're either way too squishy, or they've been nerfed so much where they just can't do anything. And in the PvE side, like, most classes are either forced to just play one role, and BioWare's original statement was, well, every role is going to be viable, and they just nerf everything to hell that there's only one spec for certain classes that are viable. And, okay, cool, I can move the UI around now. Whoopee, that should have been in the damn launch in the first place. That should have been in release day. That should have been in beta, for crying out loud. And I just... people that still are sucking BioWare's dick about this is just like, seriously, get over yourself. The game sucks. It's not any good. It's not fun. You hit level 50, there's nothing to do. The legacy system is just one of those stupid little ways to try and get people to stay in their game. It's like WoW's achievement system that they did, because there was no content in frickin' Wrath. They're like, oh crap, we don't have any content, what are we going to do? Achievements, things that mean nothing. Responsibility in gaming is not there anymore, and it's pissing me off. I'm sorry. I had to get that off. get that out of my head.
Agreed.
So, going on that, Guild Wars 2, going to be awesome. Buy it, yes. Okay. Go on, Kat.
Yeah. And here's something I'll give Arena next. Because they're not running a subscription-based MMO, they will never say, oh, God, our subscription rates are dropping.
Yeah. I feel that they have a more incentive to actually please their customers because people are going to buy it, and if they don't like it, they're screwed because they're not going to buy future expansions or buy whatever all their vanity stuff that they're going to do on the store, which I'm okay with, by the way. Everyone's getting all upset about, oh, Guild Wars 2 going to have a vanity store. Yeah, vanity stuff. I don't care. If you guys want to spend $10 on a stupid pet that doesn't do anything, be my guest. If you want a purple shiny hat, I don't care. I'm going
to
play the game.
All of one thing per expansion just to support ArenaNet, if it's good.
Yeah, I just move on, Kat, before I get mad again.
Next weekend's the beta weekend.
I know, I'm excited. Anyway, keep going.
And last, fake Angry Birds Space Android app is full of malware. There's a Angry Birds Space app in the Android market available that infests your phone with malware. According to Sophos, a digital security firm, the malware hides its payload deep inside two JPEG files. And once installed, it downloads additional malware to your phone and enlists your phone as part of a botnet. From there, your phone can be used as muscle for any number of hacker ops. The easiest way to avoid getting nailed by fake app malware is to always be sure to check the developer on any app you download. And if you've already downloaded Angry Birds Space, take a second to make sure that you've got the right one. And if not, consider securely wiping your phone completely and reformatting it. Of course, this is only the malware fake one is only available through third-party stores. But if you go to the official Android channel, your app should be completely secure. So there
and
you have it. If you've already downloaded it, you're kind of screwed if you already did.
I mean, personal responsibility, people. That's what it comes down to. You can't trust people on the internet. You're going to have to get over that. Don't buy anything off of third-party sites. That's just stupid. That's like going to a Chinese store and asking them to give you surgery from a doctor who went to medical school and failed. And it's just like, really? Common sense. Just use it. It's not hard. You have a brain. Think about it. Say, okay, you know, this isn't the official app store. Should I be buying this? Chances are it's going to be the same price, and you're not going to be saving any money. It's 99 cents across all platforms. What's the difference? Like, why are people buying it off third-party stores in the first place? This is what I want to know. Did they say why in the article?
No.
That just doesn't make any sense to me. What? Why would you? That's like buying something that's on the Apple Store off of a Japanese store. Like, what? Why? It's on the Apple
Chinese.
Store at the same price. I just. What? Why are people so stupid? I swear.
How long should it take for me to hear back from that Nigerian prince?
Check your bank account. I've already heard back from them. Oh, my gosh. I just...
You know what burns my ass? A flame about this high.
Yeah, so... We are going to go over a couple of things that piss us off, because this week has been just an overload of WTF moments. I swear the gaming and the internet community, you guys are just stupid as hell. So, I mean, I usually go first, but I think I've ranted enough for this so far. So, Kat, I know that a couple of things have made you pull your hair out. So, why don't you tell us what they are?
I'm going to actually start this shit storm off here. And I know everyone has heard those horror stories of game addiction, parents who neglect their kids and they die from starvation, or adults who get divorced and quit their jobs to focus completely on leveling and becoming the top player in a game, et cetera, et cetera. We've all heard those game addiction stories. And now there's this new article out about a behavioral perspective of why video games are unhealthy.
No. Please don't read this. No.
Now, first of all, it goes on into explaining how researchers at the Stanford School of Medicine actually found that men get more out of video games than women. In fact, the study researchers hooked 11 men and 11 women to a functional magnetic resonance imaging machine, which illuminates the regions of the brain that are functioning during a given activity. And while they found results were completely even when it came to understanding a game, men proved to be progressing significantly further in the game than the women did. Big fucking deal, okay? But according to the author, who, by the way, is a woman. Okay, this author is a woman.
Okay.
And I think that maybe she might have been a little maybe, I don't know, maybe she would have had competition with her husband in a game or something in order for her to do this. But she states that with this data in mind, game manufacturers should stop making their products so habit-forming. She says that while some of the blame can be pinned on those who are addicted, the style is tailored to prey on their audience and that they need to make video games more like Pac-Man.
Oh, I'm going to shoot this person.
Hold on, Pac-Man is the most addicting thing known to man. Second only to crack.
Wait, like, whoa. Actually, Strix brings up a really good point here. Pac-Man is actually pretty addicting because it's based on repetition.
Right.
Did she play Pac-Man, or is she just using it as a reference because it's an old game?
She made no sense, and she did not. I don't think she did her research right because I wrote back to her, okay? And when I wrote back to her, I told her that, woman, I am a veteran girl gamer, I'm a geek mom, I'm an internet radio talk show host, and I'm also the author of Why We're Failing as Parents in Tech-Driven Society. I do my research. Your article needs a refresher course and more information other than from scientific study that pinpoints human brain patterns, because brain patterns are also hyped up while doing studies in sports addicts, gambling addicts, and drug addicts, as well as entrepreneurs, small business owners, and successful business women. Why? Because, as she stated, because they were much more motivated to succeed once they realized their efforts were rewarded from these men who played these games. So that proves nothing to the addiction of video games. It simply shows that addiction is part of human nature, and it is responsibility of the human, not the game developers. So read your resources more, and why don't you read my book, for God's sake? You don't know
personal
what the hell you're talking about.
It's right in front of you.
Kat, you please tell me she responded. I want to hear if she did.
Did she respond yet? I mean, I'm actually curious to see if she actually responds to you.
Trust me, I will let you know.
Okay. First of all, Pac-Man has repetition in it. Correct me if I'm wrong. In the article, didn't she say that games have too much repetition or something?
There's only one map.
Right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, okay, Okay, so based off that, she wants the games to be less repetitious, but more like Pac-Man, which is repetitious. That seems logical, right? I mean,
and what she's saying is that these guys, first of all, she's saying mostly guys, okay? I don't know. They only said that they researched 11 men and 11 women. Okay, first of all, 11 men and 11 women is really nothing. You can kiss my ass. 11? Really? And second of all, these women that they had play these games, were they women that they picked off of the damn, you know, needle in pottery making classes that never gamed before?
Were they Amish?
Hey, no more pottery making classes.
Well, pottering, Wow, I can't say pottering. What the hell? Dang it. You know what I mean? It sounds like the people that they chose were like either Amish, blind, or just had no sense of what they were actually doing. Okay. First of all, yes, men get more things out of video games because that is in their nature. Men are stimulated more when they feel like they've accomplished something. Women are not like that as much. That is still ingrained in them, but it's just a male trait. I could have told them that. They could have paid me the money that they paid for those stupid machines, and I could have went, yeah, this guy's getting more satisfaction out of this game because the girls don't like shooting people. Or, oh my gosh.
Yeah, she literally pissed me off. I mean, she had no, the proof, her proof, so to speak, was totally pointless. And she gave nothing else to back her up. I mean,
she
must have been, her husband must have divorced her for over a game or something. That's all it sounded like.
Mr. Dumbass, I can bring a lot to Dumbass and Dumbass. I'm a go-getter. Dumbass material all the way. So, am I your man, Mr. Dumbass?
The name is Dumas.
That's pretty thick-headed. But nothing compared to the rich, thick, frosty mug taste of an A&W root beer. With A&W, it's good to be thick-headed.
What a dumbass.
That's pretty appropriate, too. I mean, it's the same argument as video games make our kids turn violent. No, they don't. Okay, the argument there is people say, well, it boosts adrenaline, and it's of course it does. You want to win. They're trying to win. They're trying to run away from the scary monster. They're trying to not die from, I don't know. Those same things happen whether you're playing effing golf, for crying out loud, because you're trying to hit a small ball 400 feet that way. You can't see where I'm pointing, so I'm not sure why I'm pointing anywhere, into another small hole with a flagpole sticking out of it. If that's not nerve-wracking, then you have balls of steel. Like, what? I just... Why are people so dumb? I just... I'm trying not to stab my eye out with this screwdriver hand in my hand. I'm just like...
Sit down in a dark room and force her to play Amnesia for a bit.
Gosh, that would be great. You know what?
So she can run around screaming?
Gosh, it's just like, yeah, okay. So you think that this video game is going to turn you into a psychopath? No, it's just going to scare the shit out of you because, I mean, it's the same thing as Saw or the Blair Witch Project, which if you're scared by the Blair Witch Project, you're kind of a wuss. But I just, it's like, thank you, Kat. I appreciate you getting me all worked up. I just...
Well, the whole point is, is she saying that we shouldn't make violent movies either? Everything should be like It's the Sound of Music? I mean, really?
Get their grubby little fingers into our video games, they're going to move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can make that same argument with books. Actually, this is actually a good thing here. You can feel those same emotions when you're playing a video game competitively when you're reading a good story.
Yes.
Hands down. If it's written well, if it's detailed, if you're in a nice quiet room and you're sitting on the couch or laying on the bed or whatever and you're just completely immersed in the story, you can actually feel that for that character and just go, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Or I got to keep reading. And there's nothing happening. It's all going on in your head. Because no one's reading it to you. There's no sound. It's just words. So should those books be banned? Should those books not be written? Should... Okay. I'm trying to refrain from saying a lot of things I'm thinking right now. Because...
Video Game Voters Network. That's all I gotta say. Don't let people like her try to tell you what you can and cannot purchase.
It's the internet.
That's
how
we saved Oklahoma from the bill that would have increased video game taxes.
oh my gosh, it's just, what, yeah. There's not much more to be said other than just completely screaming into my headset and saying, you people are retarded.
I have to agree with you.
Gosh, it's just like, every time I hear an argument, I listen, I calmly sit there and listen, and then once they're done, I proceed to punch them repeatedly in the face.
No, one's like,
they, no, you're wrong, you're stupid, you're wrong.
Bad.
I just,
I think we need Shriggs to make us a cartoon of us punching somebody in the face.
Actually, Shriggs,
no,
that's a good idea.
That
is your assignment for this week's cartoon, is you're going to make a cartoon of me and Kat, I don't know, pushing someone off a cliff with lava in it that just thinks video games are bad.
I just got the perfect idea. You know that, have you seen Office Space?
Yeah.
You know the scene where the three guys are beating up the printer?
Mm-hmm.
We do that.
That works. That's perfect. I mean, I just, why are people so stupid? Okay, actually, I'm going to do something.
Sorry.
I'm going to ask my wife a question here. Hey, honey. Do you think that video games are bad and should be banned because they make kids more violent? There you go. She said no. Simple answer. No. Love you, honey. That's why I married her, because she's awesome. Well, yeah. But that's all in moderation. She said that they should be banned if your husband spends more time with them than you. But that's all on personal responsibility. No, I mean,
the video game should not be banned. The husband should.
Yeah, exactly. Kat says the husband should be banned. There you go. Yes, she agrees. And it's all about personal responsibility and grabbing your husband, or if you like to swing the other way, grabbing your life partner by the balls, yanking him upwards, and saying, hey, spend time with me. So, I mean, it's just, why? Thank you, Kat. We're not gonna get on any more topics at all. I'm just gonna,
go to our website at boxheads.codeboxmedia.com and click on the Geeks and Gamers episode 4.3 in order to read that article that she had wrote and leave your comments. And you can also leave your comments on our website as well.
Oh, man. I am half tempted to just... I'm going to need to take a shower after this podcast because I'm sweating. I'm so mad. Why are people... Anyway, okay, so moving on. Let's just move on. All right, so Kat, you had a cartoon out this week, which is this the one that was just posted on your YouTube channel?
No, this was last week or the week before, but basically what it is we are doing animations, and they're pretty humorous. Some of them are, most of them have to do with gaming or with magic or fantasy, things like that, sci-fi. And it is pretty much, this one is about, it actually became GameStop's video of the month. A couple months ago, or a couple weeks,
really?
Last month. Yeah, last month. So it was a couple weeks ago that I just put it on. But it became the GameStop's video of the month because it had to do with community involvement and having to deal with how game developers deal with the community.
Wow, congratulations. Again, guys, she doesn't tell me anything, so. I did not know that. I would have made a bigger deal about that. I apologize.
That's okay.
That's actually really cool. Like, was it actually like featured on their website and stuff?
It was. Their community director had emailed me, said she thought it was the most hilarious video and she wanted to feature it. So it pretty much hit the nail on the head with how the other side of the development company has to deal with us, who are pains
right.
in the asses sometimes.
Oh no, it's very true. I mean, it's as a gaming community, we can be quite brutal, as you
That's right.
have seen. But for good reason, because we want quality products. So I just... did you actually give me that clip for this week, or is the clip on...
Here, you want to play it?
Yeah, why don't you play it, because the Firefox is being stupid, and it won't let me click on it. It's not letting me hit play.
So our discussion for today is how our online community can improve its response rate and patience.
Dude, I didn't think we had an issue.
And what do you mean we need to improve our patience?
Well, let's take the incident last week when a user asked why our technical support department kept hanging up on him. Kyle replied that it was because he was a loser.
Whoa, dude, seriously. I didn't think Kyle had a sarcastic remark in him. He's always sleeping.
Yo, Kyle, like, wake up already.
What? Whatever it is, I didn't do it.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Like when someone left their turkey melt in the microwave too long and set the lounge on fire.
The microwave was jinxed, man. And for that guy I replied to, he was a forum troll and I got sick of his stupid complaints.
Okay, well, like, we can't, like, act that way towards our users. I know that there are a lot of, like, adolescent know-it-alls out there that spam our forums with, like, useless shit. But we have to be the adults and keep the community peace.
Dude, like, what about the girl that has that hot profile pic and laughs at all my jokes? She's got, like, a level 70 mage, and I just wanna...
Seriously, Dan? She's probably, like, 15. Get over yourself.
Or what about that idiot who said if I don't give him an extra free credit that he was going to hunt me down or set my new car on fire?
Oh, and that little pissy priest that said she was going to rip the bun out of my hair the next time she saw me at GameCon, all because I blocked her account?
Ugh, come on, guys. Like, we need to work on our community attitudes. Like, we know that shit never happens.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys, but somebody's car is on fire out in the parking lot.
I ran your shitty toe! I told you he'd find me! I quit!
Like, so much for community involvement. We should get hazardous pay for this job.
That's awesome. Oh, that's funny. Wow.
Insane. Yeah, I'm sure that they take a lot of shit from people like us, but, you know, when your gamer is mad, they're mad. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. They're going to troll the damn forums.
Well, no, it's very true. I mean, I think my favorite post that Blizzard ever did when WoW was first around, this guy posted about a possible bug that he found with a hotkey binding. And he was binding Alt F1, Alt F2, Alt F3, and Alt F4. And he said every time he got to Alt F4, the program would crash.
Oh my gosh!
So, like, and he was being serious too. So, one of the WoW moderators actually, have you ever seen those pictures that are made out of, you know, a bunch of keyboard dots and stuff? Whatever those are called, I don't know what those are called. It's like, you know, an owl that's made out of a bunch of O's or something.
Oh, well, yes, okay. ASCII mark. Mm-hmm.
Yes. He posted a guy doing a facepalm, and that's all he posted. So, you know, I mean, the moderators normally handle it pretty well. I mean, something like that, you're just like, this doesn't even deserve a reply. This person should not be playing or using a computer. So it's just, yeah. For those of you who are wondering, Alt F4 shuts down any current program you're using. So don't actually touch that if you're like, doing something. That's not a bug. That's an actual operating system keybind, which you can go into your advanced blah, blah, blah and, you know, unbind it. But, yeah, that's actually programmed there with Windows. That's not like an error thing. That's a actual computer hotkey. It's used for shutting down a program if it's bugging out, or you can use the Control-Delete method. But, yeah, the Alt-F4 method was just funny because you're just like, wow, this kid's retarded. No one helped him either. That was the worst part. Everyone was just laughing at him.
I wonder how many people, when you said that, actually went and tried. What is he laughing at? What's he laughing at? Alt-F4. Let me try that.
I remember when multiplayer kind of was a new thing way back when, especially when the World of Warcraft first came out, and just like a lot of like the, you know, when internet gaming was just kind of as its new stage, you would be against an opponent, and you could get someone to say, hey, there's this really cool bug out that gives you a free 100 gold if you press Alt-F4. And then you would see a bunch of people disconnect because they hit Alt-F4 and it shut down the game. So in Warcraft 3, when that game first came out, it was kind of universal to, when, in single player, whenever you actually had a cheat enabled, it would say cheat enabled in the chat. And it would actually say it like, you know, your name, space, and then like you actually type that into chat. So I remember getting a couple people actually with that, like while I was doing actual competitive ladder. I would just type in cheat enabled with, you know, the little exclamation and make it look all official, and they would leave because they think that I was actually hacking.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true at the lengths of things that we as gamers will try or troll or just, like, honestly, all that was in good fun. I wasn't actually trying to be a douchebag to anyone. That's just all in good fun. It gives me a laugh because I know the other person is like, why? Why did the game just crash? The bug's not working. Like, I remember having people message me, the bug's not working, my game keeps crashing. I'm like, oh, just keep trying it. It'll work eventually.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that you can still get people with that, by the way. If they're new to gaming or if they're new to a computer or the internet, which is hard to believe these days. But you can get – I've gotten people in Counter-Strike still with that. We're like, hey, Alt-F4 gives you invisibility for 5 or 4 seconds. And then it's all of a sudden so-and-so has disconnected from the server. And everyone just starts laughing because, you know, that stupid moron actually fell for it. So it's just – yeah. The things that we do as gamers are pretty mean.
We're gullible. Exactly. Removed from the dictionary.
What?
Gullible is removed from the dictionary.
You know, sometimes I believe when people say that because Webster did add woot to their dictionary. So their credibility is kind of not there anymore.
Ah.
Yeah.
Or
well,
did they change bag like on South Park?
Hmm? Yeah, yeah. But no, woot is actually in the official Webster dictionary now as a word. So,
as long as they don't see lol.
Yeah, I mean, as long as like leet L33T is not in there, I think I still have.
Come on,
what?
People. That's not real language.
I know, but still, I mean, if woot's in there, well, might as well add some stupid crap that doesn't actually have any relevance to human society either. I'm like, who says woot?
Well, that's a genuinely new word.
But seriously, who actually goes up to them and says, woot? I mean, you sound like an idiot. You're like, you look at the person and go, what the crap
right,
is your problem? Isn't that a new cool internet word? Yeah, keyword. Internet word. You don't say it. It's like saying lols in real life. I want to punch people.
Well, lol isn't even a word. It's an
acronym.
Well,
you know, yeah, and you know, my kids being in elementary school, when they're with their friends and they're over here, they literally talk to each other and say LOL.
Oh.
I mean, that they literally do that these days in the elementary school.
Is that right?
And I'm like, wow. I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me.
You know what? When I have kids, they will not be allowed to say LOL or anything that's supposed to type. Because
the internet age has become a double-edged sword.
It's just like I have someone who says, oh my, OMG, or BRB, or I'm just like, why are you
that,
saying
yep.
that? And
yep,
quite
that's
honestly,
the kids in the elementary school.
Well, I'm like people that I've known who have started saying that, I don't hang out with anymore. I'm not kidding. Like, I don't hang out with them anymore because I'm just like, dude, shut up. I want to punch you. Don't do that. This is... Technology is a wonderful thing and is also a curse. And it's very true. I mean, you know, Cat's animated comic was so funny because I have done that before. I have threatened moderators to burn their house down because they're not answering my ticket correctly. They're just like, well, so-and-so excuses. And I'm just like, okay, look, if you don't fix this problem, I'm going to personally find where you live, cut off your feet, and feed it to you. And they're like, well, I'm going to have to ban you now because you threatened my life. And I'm like, I'm going to have to sue you because you're not helping me, right? And as soon as you mention the word sue, you usually get a, oh, well, let me take care of that. And I'm like, yeah, I thought so, you douchebag. I mean, I just, you know, I feel bad for those kind of people because they have to deal with customer service, and I've dealt with that kind of crap. It sucks. People are evil
right.
and have temper issues, but if you're not going to help them the way they're asking you to, or if you give them some bullcrap reason, especially in the gaming community, we know that you can actually do that. Like, when a WoW GM says, oh, I can't do that, I'm thinking, yeah, you can. You just don't want to because you're lazy, or you have been told not to do that because that would require me not to actually play another week.
You know,
like,
that reminds me of a story from back when in Burning Crusade when my guild raided Karazhan. We had a guildie who got really pissed off at us because he was like, oh, the food's not being distributed fairly enough.
Yeah, pixels.
So while the raid was saved, he went into the raid and he wouldn't leave and he would like pull shit on us.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a GM that's like, hey, this guy is completely ruining our raid. Could you pour him out? He's like, no, I can't do that. No.
Yeah. And you're just like...
And you know they can. They've done that before. They've ported people out.
Yeah, well, you know, eventually what we got to do is we would eventually PM like six different GMs and say, hey, he's griefing our raid. We found out that we actually have to bug them enough until they're like, okay, fine, we'll fix the problem, stop whining. It's, you know, customer service like that is just like, why not just help the customer in the first place? Why give them the runaround if you know that as a gaming community, and you're a fellow gamer as well, and this would bug you too, so why not just fix the problem? And, yeah, you know, sometimes it does come down to, hey, I'm going to burn your house down if you don't fix this. It's just... I think that, you know, what that one response that Kat got to one of her BioWare tickets was just like, you read it and you go, really, dude? Really? That's how you're going to, represent your company as a professional? You're going to say a sarcastic, ass-wiped comment that just says, well, you should know this, I'm just like, really? Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. It annoys me, and yet sometimes I think companies just deserve it. So, I don't know. Whatever. Stupid. Anyway, with that music, guys, it's time for closing statements and everything else. Kat, announcements, go.
Just for any more information on any of the topics discussed tonight, please visit boxheads.codeboxmedia.com and click on the Boxheads Geeks and Gamers 4.3 episode where you'll get all the links to the wonderful stories, news, events, and rants as well discussed Woo-hoo. Right here on Boxheads Podcast.
Excellent. Anything else? I don't think we have anything else to announce or special announcements.
We do, actually, just to let everybody know, start listening. Starting in June, Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be getting a little bit more serious on tech industry business, geek professionals, and parenting in the digital age. Mm-hmm. Starting June, Thursday night, 7 p.m.
Awesome. You know, it's that British lady. No one else can hear it but me, and it just bugs the crap out of me. It's just like, lady, I know. Be quiet. Stop talking to me. So, yeah, definitely check out that podcast starting in June. Like Kat said, it's going to focus on more of just kind of business and just kind of life in general as gaming and whatnot and technology and gadgets and all that other fun stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting. As always, guys, email the show, boxheads@codeboxmedia.com. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, it's all simple. It's just all Codebox Media. There's no hyphens or dashes or anything. It's very simple. Check out our main website as well, codeboxmedia.com, for the latest articles, press releases, etc., etc. Please check out our weekly Dota tournament going on every Monday starting at 8 p.m. Signups are on dirtnapgaming.com, which is the clan I am a part of for Dota 2, and a bunch of other cool stuff. I think that's it. Closing statements. Remember, guys, complaining will get you everywhere.
Heaven is a woman. Hell is a woman kicking your ass in PvP.
And Baz told me this in confidence. During sex, he goes, firing at 10, 9, 8. Whoops.
I hate you. Bye.